This is Bill Finley from the Thoroughbred Daily News offices in Red Bank, New Jersey, and we continue in our quest to reach out to interesting people in horse racing, people who are having stories to tell right now in terms of what's going on in the world with the virus, or maybe what's going on in general. Today, we check in with retired jockey Ramon Dominguez, who has made some news lately with his efforts to help backstretch workers and others as the coronavirus problem plagues all of us in society. And Ramon, before we get to the specifics of that, if I'm just the man on the street and I come up to you and say, hey, Ramon, how you doing? What are your thoughts? You know, we're all so deep in thought right now and with our worries and our concerns. Just generally, what's on your mind right now?
Well, I am, as well as most people, I would say, confused. At the same time, I'm hopeful. This is something that has taken me from one end of the spectrum to the other in terms of understanding what's happening with the coronavirus, trying to give my opinion as to what is true and what's not. And still today, despite all the information that is out there, I'm sort of trying to wrap my head around it. And while trying to get informed, I continue to proceed with caution and trying to do things correctly so that we can minimize the spread of this virus.
And Ramon, where are you physically now? And what is your daily routine like?
Sure. So I live in Saratoga Springs, New York. I have been living here for a couple of years. I am still, you know, very involved with racing in many different areas. And one of them, for the last couple of years, I have been working on creating and now bringing to market a riding crop that is safer and more humane to the horses. Besides that, in my personal life, I'm also very involved with the lives of my family, my two young boys who are teenagers. And on a personal level, I very much enjoy running now. I get up in the morning and look forward to going for a run every day.
That's good. Very good. And Ramon, everybody is concerned about so many different things as the virus goes on. I'm sure you have the same concerns that we all do about your own health, about the health of your family, et cetera. But you have been out there in social media, et cetera, talking about the plight of backstretch workers. So it seems like that's one area that you've definitely focused in on. And, you know, tell me, why is that so important to you? Why is their well-being, their health, just the simple ability to get a meal? Why is that something that's near and dear to your heart?
Sure. So the backstretch families, I mean, it's something that by now I don't see them as separate from me. I am part of that community, even though I don't live in the backstretch. They are like family. So their needs are very important for me to help in any way I can. It is an effort that I feel like we have this responsibility in our hands to help them, because in some ways, it is a community within the community. At the same time, they can be somewhat isolated from the real world, let's just say, because it is their work is something that is extremely requires huge attention. So they get up very, very early in the morning, take care of these horses, and maybe go and take a short break to come back. So, and at the end of the day, yes, they are doing this to provide for their families. But ultimately, to support in such a big way our sport. So they are, without a question, the backbone of our sport. And in times like these, more than ever, we need to come together to see how we can help. And when it comes to food, that is our primary basic need. So we maybe have a little bit of more access by whether it is going to the supermarket. Sometimes these people don't have a car, so we certainly are happy to come together. And when I say we, whether it is through the chaplaincy, but the whole racing community, the response at this time, just when there has been this call to fill these food pantries, has been overwhelming. A lot of people within the sport and outside the sport has been making donations. So that is so great to see.
Ramon, you're not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. Neither one of us are experts in coronavirus or any other spread of any other disease. But from conventional wisdom, you would think about the backstretch worker's life. They have to continue to go to work because somebody has to take care of the horses. They really are not able to just self-quarantine and stay out of the public like some of us can do. On top of that, their living situations, particularly at racetracks on the backstretch, you know, quite frankly, they're not great living conditions. And there are a lot of people in these dorms in a relatively small area. Do you think, from your knowledge of racing and what it's like on the backstretch, that these people are in more risk than perhaps the average human being?
Well, I definitely don't know. I don't really know. However, when I think about it, there are two ways to look at this. One is certainly you can say that the risk is higher because they are forced, given the dynamics of their job, to be surrounded by other people. That is something that cannot change. At the same time, as I said before, it is a very close community where a lot of these people don't really leave the backstretch. I mean, they just are consumed by taking care of these horses. So although they are surrounded by a lot of people, it is always the same people. Therefore, I feel like if looking at it from that perspective is something that sort of minimizes the exposure to new people that perhaps have contacted people who has been exposed to the virus. So most recently, we know that Belmont, there was a couple cases of backstretch workers who had the coronavirus. Certainly, they are not immune to this. But at the same time, I'm not going to be so quick to judge as to whether the risk is higher because, again, if the bottom line is that if they are not having a lot of contact or they are not having contact with the outside world, let's just say, I feel like the risk is somewhat minimized.
Now, Ramon, what can people do to help? Obviously, let's start first. I mean, there's an obvious answer to that question. They can donate money. Who, where, how, why? If somebody is listening to this and says, you know, I want to help out, I want to be able to make the lives of the backstretch workers better, and they do want to donate money, what is your suggestion is the best way to go about that?
Yeah, the best way would be to contact directly the racetrack chaplaincy, and it is the New York division, through the website, and or call them. And of course, if they are in the area, they can always stop by at the same time. Right now, of course, given the craziness of what's happening, I don't know if they will be allowed. But the best way, I guess, would be for them to call directly the chaplaincy or to go to the NYRCTA website and make a donation through the website.
And what's your understanding of the situation there? Are they reasonably well stocked for food in the pantry now, or is this becoming a problem?
So it has been a problem in the past week or so. The food pantry was at its lowest. Something that was certainly very concerning is not only that there was not a lot of food there to provide to the families, but obviously it is a critical point because a lot of these families don't really can leave the track. So at this point, the support has been overwhelming where there has been a lot of donations. But the question here is how much longer will this will continue to be going when in terms of the coronavirus? So because that will determine how much cushion really there is here, financial cushion with the donations that have been coming through. So at the end of the day, we certainly need to continue to advocate and continue to bring money because it is a huge community. I mean, it's 3,500 people in the backstretch in New York. So needless to say that there is a lot of money needed to be able to provide food for all these people. So certainly it's something that it will be an ongoing journey here, an ongoing thing that we will be doing so that we can continue to provide services to these families.
Ramon, let's switch gears now and talk a little bit about what you've been doing. And you were at the very top of your profession, really the number one rider in the country, then had a frightening spill with a head injury and had to retire. And it's now been several years. I mean, it's an obvious question, but I'll ask it anyways. How much do you miss it?
I honestly missed it quite a bit in the beginning, and it's something that becomes a way of life. You go to work, and not only racing itself, but also the people in racing, I mean, in the jockeys room, the jockeys, those are like my brothers and my second family. So, but shortly after you start focusing on other things in life and whether it is spending more time with your family now, something that is basic as that is, or it's important, something that there was limited time given how much I was riding, among many other things. So right now, I'm still, as I said before, involved in racing. I actually, while there is racing here in Saratoga, I go to the track quite often. So it is not something that I miss terribly because I am still very much connected with the sport. And I do enjoy watching good races and sort of putting myself in the boots of the jockeys to see what I would do in this situation or that situation. So although I'm not on top of a horse anymore, I feel like I'm still connected with the sport in many other ways.
And Ramon, you mentioned earlier, one of the things you've done is you're an inventor, and you invented a riding crop that by all accounts is very, I don't know, gentle on the horse, that it really doesn't hurt them. But at the same time, there's this big debate in horse racing about whether or not we should do away with the whip altogether. Now, people are on different sides of the fence on this. And, you know, as somebody who's, you know, I didn't think you ever thought you'd be cast in the middle of this debate, but because of your invention of the crop, you really have been. You know, what is your outlook and what would you tell people, myself included? I'll be honest with you. I think the whip should be banned, period. But, you know, I don't make those decisions. But what would you tell the Bill Finleys of the world when they say they should ban whips altogether?
Sure. So first, and I mean, very briefly, I want to point out the fact that this is something that I didn't come up with, this idea, given the craziness or the dilemma that there is currently with the riding crop. It's something that, an idea that came to me almost 12 years ago when I was active riding, and something that I thought enough of the invention that I ended up patenting back then. So in a nutshell, the two things, I understand the skepticism of people like yourself, which I applaud you for being honest and saying that, because you have expressed this in the past, that you think that it should be banned. So my opinion on this, which is really based on the experience that I have had on over 20 plus years riding races, is that people need to understand, and this is what is going to be key, the educational piece or part of it, that the riding crop is a piece of equipment that has evolved in the last 10 plus years. Definitely we have a softer version, but we were not at the level that we should be. And of course, it is a little bit difficult for me to say because I have a biased opinion. I'm the inventor, I'm the person who owns this. However, there has been a third-party studies that we have conducted where it proves that this is definitely much softer when it comes to having contact with the horse. It's something that is not going to be causing harm. So why is this important? It is important because there are many cases which are actually sort of naked to the eye of the observer on the outside, where the riding crop is needed to in order to maintain safety in our sport. Something that doesn't have to be a drastic thing, that the horse is going to the outside fence. It's just precautions that you sort of take ahead of time. You are ahead of the curve, so to speak, as a jockey, and you foresee when a scenario is going to develop that is not going to be well for the well-being of the jockeys and horses. So that is number one. And number two is, and I'm going to, by explaining this, I'm also going to cover something that has been brought recently, and people say, I don't know how anyone can explain this. And it is, when there is a kid at the racetrack or somebody watching the races and say, oh my God, why do they have to hit the horses? And people say, we cannot really justify, if the horses supposedly love to run, how come we have to hit them? So if we break from the understanding that, again, this piece of equipment is not causing harm to the horses, it is easier to understand the second part, which is, in order to keep a level playing field, whether it is for the people who are betting or enjoying the races, or the owners or the trainers or anyone involved in the end of the race, who is going to win and not, it is important to have the riding crop as a piece of encouragement for the horses, because not every horse has the same personality, let's just say. So some of them are very forward, wonderful, you just need to control their speed. But those who are actually, in many cases, very, very good horses, but are set on their ways, they will give you as little as they have to. They're maybe sometimes on the lazy side, if you don't encourage them, whether it is by making sounds with your mouth, which is another form of encouragement, or handwriting, or even having contact with the riding crop, that is a horse that cannot reach its full potential. So again, the two main components going back, it is safety and also encouragement to maintain a level playing field.
Very good. Well, Ramon, thank you for your time, and thank you so much for all the good work you're doing for the backstretch workers and helping get the word out. And we'll all keep our fingers crossed and hope we get back to a normal life fairly soon, my friend.
Yeah, William, that will be the case. Thank you as well for all your contribution to the sport, Bill.
Thank you so much, Ramon. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.